Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank y'all for being here today. We've got a lot to say and a lot to cover this morning. And so let's dive into the Word of God together real quick. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be preaching from verses 7 through 12. Got a lot of information to give you today. Just pray that the Holy Spirit would divinely impact and empower His Word today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say, I need to go to Bible drill. All right. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? That he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, your word always rings true. And I pray, God, that you would bless your word today in such a way that it would be clear as crystal to us what the message is. And so I ask, God, that you would bless and honor your word. Get the preacher behind the cross. Nobody needs to hear and see me. They need to hear and see from you. So I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Unity, as we talked about last week, is so important in the body of Christ. And you remember we learned 7 fundamentals of faith that make us one. Look at somebody and say, we're one. Now, unity is not all about everybody being just alike. I mean, we're different, right? Was we always... already have talked about, but our diversity is what helps us in this thing called unity. And we learned that there are some 4 gifts of grace. Remember those from last week? Humility, gentleness, long-suffering, and forbearance that help us as those things are practiced on a daily basis in the body of Christ. Those things help us maintain unity. But our unity and diversity are expressed in several different ways, and especially our diversity. They are experienced and expressed in spiritual gifts. Now, according to verse 7, Jesus gave every one of his followers a spiritual gift. Tell somebody you're gifted. All right, I'm going to give y'all a second chance. Tell somebody you're gifted. You've been given a spiritual gift. And the majority of these gifts, the wonderful charismata, the grace gifts are mentioned in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But this morning, we're looking at the dhamata, those gratuitous gifts that Christ Jesus gave to the church. And after God gave the wonderful, aren't you glad God sent the gift of the Holy Spirit? And so that was his great gift to the church. But then after that, Jesus gave a gift to the church. And do you know what God's gift to the early church was? Gifted men. Now, I may look like the gag gift to some of y'all, and I probably am. God's got a sense of humor, but God's great gift there in verse 11 were gifted, and these just happened to be the offices of the church. So let's take a look at, first of all, the person who delivers the gift. Verses 7 through 10, Paul begins to talk about who it was that gave these gifted men to the church. And he begins to describe this, the stunning source of those gifts. And of course, the source of these gifts is none other than the Lord Jesus. And his work was so astounding. The scripture first says that he descended. He descended. Can you imagine what it was like to leave heaven? No, because we've never been there, right? But can you imagine leaving heaven, the splendor, the majesty, the glory, the awesomeness of the throne of the universe, leaving all of that to come down here and being born in a Bethlehem barn? He descended to earth. And God spilled himself out in human flesh. Jesus was born in a manger, in a what I call the Bethlehem barn. He descended to earth. First of all, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. I've got this for you. Let me read it. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5 says this. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. So Jesus left heaven, first of all, to die. He was born to die. Why did he need to die? For our sins. Jesus came to take care of our two greatest issues, the problem of sin and the problem of death. But Jesus also came for a second reason, and you find that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. One of the other reasons that Jesus descended was not only to take care of our sin issue, but to destroy the power and the works of the devil. By the way, Satan has been defeated. I mean, his kingdom came crashing down at Calvary. His back was broken there on the cross. So Satan has no more power or authority over us except that which we allow him to have. And so he descended. Jesus Christ descended. And then what does that mean over here in Ephesians chapter 4? This is a strange, strange verse. Look at it with me. I want you to see it. Verse 9. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, what's that all about? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19. Let me read those for you. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 18 and 19 says this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now listen to this, by verse 19, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now what's that all about? Well, when the Lord died, his body went to the grave just like ours does. But in Old Testament theology and Old Testament thought, the place of the living dead, by the way, your soul is going to live forever. You know, we looked at that verse last year that God has put eternity into our hearts. You have an eternal nature. You're going to live forever somewhere. And so Jesus, when he died, his spirit, New Testament, Old and New Testament theology said that there was a place of the living dead called Sheol. And there's two compartments in Sheol. Now, don't go to talking. Brother Cal's preaching on purgatory. No, I'm not. There's a place called Hades, which is the place of the wicked dead. And then another place in Sheol was the place of Abraham's bosom, paradise, where the righteous dead were. So what's this stuff about Jesus descending into the lower part? Well, here's what I believe happened. When Jesus died and he was in the grave, his soul, his spirit went down to Hades and he began to preach to the spirits, the demons there in prison. He said, your plan hadn't worked. I'm coming out of here in 3 days. And then he kind of walked over there to paradise and looked at all those Old Testament saints. And by the way, an Old Testament saint was saved by looking forward in faith to the Messiah. We're saved by looking backwards at Christ by faith in what he did for us on the cross. Are y'all with me? So you had all the souls of these Old Testament saints in paradise, and Jesus showed up and said, hey, we're getting out of here in 3 days. Y'all are no longer going to be here. You're going with me to the throne of glory. And so today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So I think that's something of what happened over there. We are saved. And can you imagine what that must have been like for those Old Testament saints to see the Lord of glory show up? They've been held captive. And so he, are you glad this morning he descended? And so that's what happened when he descended to earth. But then, bless God, the scripture says that he ascended, verse 8, on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, Andrew did great. He read that quotation from Psalm 68 and verse 18 this morning. And what Paul's doing now here is he's painting a picture of an Old Testament, in Old Testament times and New Testament times, a conquering king or a conquering general would come through the gates of the city after a great victory on horseback and even, you know, standing in a chariot. And that commanding king would come through the gates to great fanfare after a tremendous battle and after they were victorious. And he would have some of those defeated kings and warriors and soldiers chained to his chariot wheels. And then in behind the chariot were his own soldiers who were once prisoners of war, captives, and they had now been set free. And can't you see King David coming through the gates of Jerusalem after one of his great, great victories? And so I think that's something of what Paul is picturing here for those readers. And by the way, when he ascended, Jesus didn't go sneaking in the back door to get back into heaven. I mean, he went in as the conquering king. The king came marching in. And I think Jesus told those Old Testament saints, he said, we're going to the throne of glory. And when Jesus ascended back to heaven, can't you just picture this in your mind? The king came marching in. And he had all those Old Testament saints with him. The glorious, even the thief on the cross was a part of this. Man, this is good stuff here, y'all. And oh, sin, Satan, and death were chained to the king's chariot wheels. And, you know, Psalm 24 talks about this. And Andrew, how the heavenly choirs got together and began to sing and all of heaven. Can you imagine what it was like when Jesus got back home? What a reception that must have been for him. The king came marching in. And many times these conquering kings and generals would give out gifts from the spoils and the plunder that they'd taken from their, you know, from their victims. And so Jesus, when he got back home, began to distribute gifts to the people. He gave a birthday gift to the church called the Holy Spirit. And then he gave a love gift to the church, some gifted folks. And so much for the person who delivers the gift. And then Paul moves to the people who develop the gifts. Look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These are the ascension gifts of the Spirit of God, of the Lord Jesus that he gave to his church. God gave the church some gifted men. And these are basically the offices of a New Testament church. Now, first of all, the apostles and prophets. We've already talked about that as we move through Ephesians 2:20 and 3:5. The apostles and prophets did the foundational work, of the church. And they played a key role back in those early days in the first century. And their job was to lay the foundation of the church solidly on the Word of God and the God of the Word. And because of the foundational work of the apostles and the prophets, guess what you have today? You've got a Bible. Aren't you thankful for the apostolic work of the apostles and prophets, that we have the completed Word of God? And once they completed their work, Revelation was the last book written, and once at the end of the first century, we had the foundational work of the church completed. Bless God. And so today, let me just go online and say this. You don't need the Book of Mormon. I'm getting in trouble now. And you don't need the Watchman Tower material either. We've got the Word of God and the God of the Word. And so that was the foundational work of the apostles. And then he said, the evangelist. Now, an evangelist was and is someone who is uniquely gifted to share the Word of God with people, to reach people and to win people to faith in Jesus Christ. I think one of the greatest examples they've had in your New Testament is the deacon Philip was an evangelist. Everywhere Philip went, he was bringing somebody to Jesus. And there's some modern day evangelists. I don't know if you've ever heard of J. Harold Smith or Brother Junior Hill or David Ring or probably the most popular, Billy Graham. That is the office of the evangelist. And they are gifted men, still have those in the church, to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Timothy 4, 5, listen up, commands every believer to do the work of an evangelist. Every one of us is to be sharing and spreading the Word of God. That's our commandment. We're all to be doing that. Amen? And I mean, that's what we need to do here in Clarksville. People are dying and going to hell. I was so blessed this morning. I had my phone there at my desk, and I don't know, there's several churches celebrating believers' baptism this morning. And you know what? I just praise God for that. We've baptized one since March. We've baptized one person since March. And that was in my swimming pool after a granddad and a grandmama had led their grandson to the Lord. You would think in a pandemic, Second Mile would be running over. Some of y'all have told me before, Brother Cal, you're too hard on us. I'm hard on you because I love you. We have got to do a better job of sharing our faith and bringing people to faith in Christ. Amen? And so we're to be doing the work of the evangelist, but there is still that gifted office of the evangelist. And then the pastor-teacher gift does the instructional work of the church. Now, some of y'all are teachers, but you're not a pastor, but there's a spiritual gift of teaching. Susan has it. Billy Walker has it. Have mercy, doesn't he? I think Terry Perry probably has this gift. That love to teach, and they love to get all the details together, and they put it together. But that's the spiritual gift of teaching that you find over there in Romans chapter 12. This is the office of pastor. Now, there's three words used interchangeably in your New Testament for this office. One is elder. The other is bishop. Some would say overseer. And then pastor or shepherd. And now the evangelist, what does he do? He finds the sheep. And the pastor feeds, leads, and bleeds for the sheep. Can I get a witness? That's what the pastor's role is. And let me run over here to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Primarily, a shepherd, a pastor, is to feed. Sheep need to eat. Amen? And so the pastor's, one of his responsibilities is to feed the flock. And I want to tell you, if I don't put the work in ahead of time, and I don't really pray and spend time in the Word each and every week, y'all get a happy meal instead of a buffet dinner. I can tell by looking at y'all, y'all don't care anything at all about happy meals. Amen? And so the pastor needs to feed the sheep, and he fills that trough up with the feed so that all the sheep, the old sheep, the young sheep, the little sheep, the big sheep, can all get into the trough to eat. Y'all with me? So, pastor feeds the sheep. and then Acts 20 and 28 and 29 reveal that every pastor is to guard and protect and, if need be, bleed for the sheep. there are wolves out here in sheep's clothing. And the pastor, the shepherd, is the one that protects the sheep from the wolves. That's exactly what Paul's talking about over there in Acts chapter 20. And you do know, y'all do know the devil is after you, don't you? This is not some playground. This is a battleground. The devil, the evil one, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy, kill your spirit, destroy your life. But bless God, God has put some gifted folks in place to stand and protect you and to guard you. And I'm doing my best to protect y'all. How am I doing that? Acts 6:4 tells me what my job description is. I'm to pray and preach. Now, if I can get to some other things, great. But primarily, I'm to pray for you all, to watch out for your souls, to lift you up, and to pray for spiritual oversight for the church, and then to preach the word of God. Now, if I can get some other things, hallelujah. But that's the primary job of the pastor, to feed and to bleed for the church. Then there's a third one, and the pastor is the shepherd leads the sheep. Y'all know sheep are dumb. They will wander off, get in some pasture that doesn't even have any grass. They'll wander over the hill and there's no water. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Amen? And so a pastor is to lead. And I love what Hebrews 13 says about the shepherd, about the pastor role in the church. Hebrews 13, verse 7, listen to this. Remember those who rule over you, and that word rule means to lead, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you. Again, that word means lead, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. There's that bleeding stuff again, all right? Protection. They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and have to give an account for the ministry that He gave me. I'm not going to answer to the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not going to answer to the Cumberland Baptist Convention. I'm going to answer to the Lord Jesus Himself. And He says, let them, speaking of the pastor and shepherd, do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, I have learned something in my 26 years of being a pastor. It is awful hard to drag sheep. You can't pull sheep. You can't even kick sheep to get them in line. But you know what you can do? You can lead the sheep. And I'm a servant leader just like every other pastor. I'm not a dictator. You know, I'm not. Now, there are some dictators out there, okay? Now, don't you come up to me and ask me who they are after the service. You probably already know who they are. But you'll not find a whole lot of pastors today that'll lead, feed, and bleed for their flocks. I don't know how many of y'all I've been with here lately at the funeral home. And man, I weep with y'all. It's tough to lose a loved one. I was with a little brokenhearted family day before yesterday. And before COVID hit, we were in the hospitals and the nursing homes and the assisted livings and the retirement homes and funeral homes. I mean, y'all understand where I'm coming from? That's how a pastor watches out for your souls in all of these areas, leading, feeding, and bleeding, or protecting, or guarding, or His folks. And so I want to just come before you all transparent. I want to be the very best pastor I can be. I'm getting close to being a dinosaur. I've only got a few more good years left in the ministry. And I want to finish well. You know what I want to hear? The chief shepherd say, well done. Good job. Here's the crown of glory. That's what I want to hear. And I just want to tell you what a privilege it is to be your shepherd, to be your pastor. Y'all make it easy. Well, 99% of y'all make it real easy to be your pastor. Thank y'all. Thank you. So that's the people who develop the gifts. And then finally, the purpose which perfects the gifts. Now look, there's a reason God gave these gifts to the church, these offices, these gifted people. Do you see that word there in verse 12? Therefore, oops, I'm in Hebrews. Goodness gracious. I need to get out of that and get back over here in Ephesians. Verse 12, for the equipping. Some of your translations may say the perfecting of the saints. This word equipping is an interesting word. Matthew used it when he's speaking about the mending of nets. Paul uses it over there in Galatians 6:1 when he's talking about restoring a fallen brother or sister who has strayed from their fellowship with the Lord. And then the word is also used to set a broken bone, to put a broken bone back together again. God's gifted men in the church were given to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints. What are they supposed to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the what? So y'all didn't want to read that. For the work of the ministry. Now, I don't want to tick anybody off, but there is... My purpose here is to equip the saints to serve, to equip you all to do the work of the ministry. But you see, there's a huge error in the church today. There's a tremendous misunderstanding. You know, what a lot of folks will do is show up on Sunday morning and watch the professional ministers do their jobs. And then they go home and they come back the next Sunday. That is not what needs to take place. A lot of people in the church today think, well, that's the pastor's job. He's supposed to be doing the ministry. He's supposed to be doing that. I mean, after all, that's what we pay him to do, right? But that's not the way this thing's supposed to work. I'm to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I've got a ministry to perform, the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. That's my primary responsibility. You may not have stopped to think about this, but do y'all know how many ministers and pastors and, well, ministers mean servant. You know how many ministers we've got on staff here? Actually, we've got about 275. Now, we've got about 140 or 50 members, but then there's another 100 or so that are very affiliated with the church, okay? 275 ministers, servants. Can you imagine what would happen here at Second Mile Church in this community out at Kenwood if all 275 of us not only got equipped for the ministry, but they began to work the ministry and do the ministry? Y'all with me? Well, y'all are quiet now. I'm glad y'all don't have tomatoes with you. That'll come home to you here in a little while. There are places for all of you to serve everywhere. We need meeters, greeters, and feeders. Our hospitality team. We're going to get back on that ministry here shortly. But we need folks to help serve food and put together food. We need folks to work and serve out here in the parking lot and to greet people. You remember the first time you showed up out here? First time you pulled up on the parking lot, there was somebody to greet you out in the parking lot. And I want to tell you, our parking lot ministry, those guys do a great job. And then we need greeters, folks who look nice and can smile, you know, and just make you feel good all under and welcome you to Second Mile Church. Andrew Penny is with us now. Him and his family have moved here, and Andrew's going to do his dead level best to get us where we need to be in worship and with music. And he needs help. He needs musicians. Believe it or not, we are going to have a choir one day. And so you can serve there. Our children's ministry team, my goodness. We're going to get it rolling, the children's ministry again, our high school ministry, our middle school ministry. Those folks need help. You know, I don't know if you've noticed out here, but we've got bushes and shrubs. Some of you are really great at doing landscaping type work. And the building needs to be upgraded. And bless God, Kenwood Baptist Church is pretty much ours now. And for those 40 or 50 of you, I'm so proud of y'all that were out there Sunday night. What an evening we had. Amen. But there's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done out there. And some of you all are going to have to go out there with me and with others and do the work of the ministry to get them back on track. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. So there's something that you can do for Jesus' sake. And God has gifted you. You can go home and look at those spiritual gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. There's something that you can do in and through the local church. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger ministry. Everything that's being done is being done through the work and the fellowship of the local church. And so if we could lay hold of this truth today, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word means to strengthen. It's the word edifice, building. Amen? Can you imagine what would happen if we all got equipped to serve? Now, I know who I'm talking to. Y'all are here. Y'all are the cream of the crop. You're our 8:30 crowd, right? Pat yourself on the back. Get a copy of this message and take it to somebody else, okay? But that's what we're to do. We're to do the work of the ministry. My job is to equip the saints to serve, and you guys are doing the work of the ministry. But bless God. I'm having trouble landing this plane because it's about time. But what was that? Was that the trumpet? That was a weak trumpet if it was. Let me just say this to all of you. I want you to pray about, really begin to pray about where God would have you to serve and what God would have you to be doing. And I recognize, man, Martha Hoover, God bless you. This is one of our senior saints. But you know what? She's busy. She's busy working and serving. Did you know there's a great ministry of encouragement? Since I can't get to the hospitals and the nursing homes, you know what a card does for people? We got a bunch of people. I want you to really pray. Where and what? How can you serve in and through? If you're not coming to this church and you're part of another church, get in with them. Do what only you can do, because one day we're all going to stand before Jesus. And you're going to want to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Let's pray. Father, I just hope and pray that I haven't made a mess of this today. So much information here to try to deliver in 25 or 30 minutes. But your spirit's a lot bigger than who I am. And you're able to do whatever needs to be done. And so, God, I just thank you for those that have been so patient, and those that are online, those that are here in this service, God. And you're able to speak to us. You're able to pour out your word into our hearts in such a way. And I know you're speaking to people all across this congregation right now. And God, just help our yes to be yes. Just help us to say yes to whatever it is you're calling us to do. I thank you so much, God. Thank you so, so much for allowing us to be a part of what you want done. You could have done all this yourself, but you chose to allow your church, the Bride of Christ, to be involved in ministry. And really, Lord, all that really matters, all that really counts is what we do for Jesus. That's all we're going to be able to take with us. And Lord, if there's one here that needs salvation, oh God, I pray that they might receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God, please help us. Please help us this morning in whatever area you want to speak to us about. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor,
about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.